Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children to jump the very best they can. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. Na 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 na. Gotta change it, girl, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl, just you and me.
Amen, amen, amen. To God be the glory for this awesome and wonderful evening. We thank God for the 18th day of January 2021, a day we've never seen before. We'll never see this day again, but we're grateful and thankful that it's an awesome day here. We thank God that we celebrated Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday and his day of celebration today. Thank God for all of those that were capable and able to go out and volunteer and make a difference in the communities that we live in. Thankful that God is always looking to see how we can better ourselves by being a blessing to someone else. I just pray that God continue to give us the ability to recognize, know, and understand when it is time for us to serve and where to serve. My name is Tammy Storr. We will be joined by Minister Jesse Storr, thanking God for him and for all that he will bring forth on this hour. Thank God for your presence. I know that you could have been any other place, but you chose to be here with us tonight, and we just want to thank God for you and for your presence. As we come tonight and speak about vision, we all know that vision is key in everything we do, but in particular, what can we learn from King? So I just thank God that on tonight, we're able to look at and be able to see the vision and everything that's going on around us, and all of the activities that have gone on around us. We pray that you get an opportunity to press one on your phone. It'll place you in the host queue at the appropriate time. Minister Jesse will open up your mic, give you an opportunity to share in your own words. And we just pray that God continues to move in all of us in a mighty way, knowing that when we allow ourselves an opportunity to share through transparency, we're able to help so many people. And so I just pray that there's no difference today, that you will allow your voice to be heard for others to be able to learn and grow from things that you may say. As always, we usher in the Holy Spirit before everything we do. Tonight is no different. I just want to thank you in advance for being a part of that number where two or more gather together. We're calling upon the mighty name of Jesus. We know that he will be in the midst. Most gracious and most heavenly Father, we just want to first say thank you. Thank you for this opportunity that you will give us to move forward and to continue to recognize, know, and understand that you've given all of us vision for a reason, that you want us to be able to see, Father God, where our future lies and what you desire for us to do. And on this night, Heavenly Father, I just pray that you continue to order our steps and give us an opportunity to open up our eyes and be able, Father, to open up our ear gates and be able to know, Father God, where you desire for us to go. And I pray tonight that you would stop by and be with every marriage that's represented on our call tonight, that, Father, they will have an opportunity to open up their eyes and ears and the vision that you have for them, that they would work, Father God, together to be, Father God, in oneness and know that there's great things that you have in store for them. I thank you for every individual that's here that desires to be married, Father. I pray that you will allow holy matrimony to take place in their lives. I thank you for every man that finds an awesome woman of God, because you said in your word, when a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing. And so I thank you that we, Father God, will continue to recognize, know, and understand that as women, we must continue also to have our eyes open so that at the appropriate time, God will allow our eyes to lock with the significant man, with the significant person that he has in store for you. And I pray tonight, Lord God, that you would continue to give us all the ability not to be able to be joined, Father God, in holy matrimony, but once we're joined together in holy matrimony, that we're able and willing to work together to make it, Father God, successful. And so I pray for every marriage that you've allowed to be joined together that's going through, Father God, any difficulties in their marriage. I pray that you stop by and meet them in their time of need and give them an opportunity to press forward, to press through any challenging situation. Let them recognize in their heart and in their spirit that trouble don't last always. And I pray tonight, Lord God, that you would continue to open up, Father God, the hearts of all of us to allow us, Father God, to let even more love to enter in, Father, because if we allow it to enter in, we know that's what exit out. And so I just thank you that we all are willing, capable, and able to be able, Father God, to exercise and operate in love. And so on tonight, I pray that you continue to be with all of us and allow us, Father God, to be able to show love one to another, to be able to do our part, Father God, with each and every individual that we come in contact with. Let us be, Father God, loving and kind and generous, and let us go out of our way to be a blessing. I love you so much, Lord God. Everything that this awesome man of God that comes this hour pours into us today, Lord God, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that you would refuel him and allow him, Father God, a thousandfold blessing to be upon his life. Everything he puts his hands to, I declare and I decree that it will be blessed by you. In Jesus' mighty name I pray, amen, amen, and amen.
Amen. Let everyone say amen. We praise God and we thank God tonight for his grace and his mercy, which we know truly endures forever. 18th of January, 2021. We know and understand that all around America and most places, we have a celebration, although somewhat more subdued than normal. When we first came to Atlanta, now going on 25 years ago, there was always a great deal of celebration and a lot of activities that took place. And you'd have parades downtown, of course, You'd have all kinds of celebration in churches and schools, and it was really, really a big deal because this was the celebrated birthday, a national holiday of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and so many had fought to make sure this would be recognized as such. And we know that over the course of time, there have been many who have made it their objective to undermine and to not allow it to be as strong of a holiday as many people, especially those that are from the Atlanta area, Birmingham area, or really all over the South and all over the United States. And so even today is another example. While we know that banks were closed and the post office was not working and running, there were still a lot of other places of businesses that were open, and we're not upset with them because we know 2020 was a difficult year for many businesses. And so anytime you are able to open up shop a little bit and be able to continue to feed your family and take care of your financial obligations, everybody is more than understanding. And so we hope and pray that a year from now, things will be beyond this current pandemic. We'll be moving into hopefully a time where political bickering will be a thing of the past, and we'll see more bipartisan agreement on the things that will be taking place. And it's interesting that when we think in terms of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., we sometimes may overlook and not think about the 15-year marriage he had with Coretta Scott King, and the fact that she, in many ways, was a continuation of the vision that God had planted in his heart. I think most of us know the love story that brought them together when he was studying for his PhD up in Boston, and she was also studying in music. Apparently they got together, and I don't know, a few months later, 16, 17 months later, if my memory serves me correctly, they were married. And the one thing that comes to mind in looking at what may have transpired and what may have taken place was the reason why, or the reasons he gave her for having an attraction and having the desire to be married. And he said there were four things that really stood out about her. That was her character, her intelligence, her personality, and her beauty. I repeat those again. Character, intelligence, personality, and beauty. I know sometimes we think most of the time that men, the first thing they think about is beauty. And while that could be an important element, beauty we know is in the eye of the beholder. And what may be beautiful to one may not be as beautiful to another. But the thing we all can agree on, I believe, is this character, the thing that can cause someone to elevate you and elevate your consciousness to a higher level just by having the right and appropriate character, to have a foundation where you care not only about you, but you also have empathy, love, and concern for others. And if we think about the fact that over the 15 years that they were married, they have four children. They were very blessed during that particular time. And I think they probably married in a very good month, married in the month of June, actually, having to be a good month. Just also happened to be the month in which I was born myself. I believe June 18th, they were in 1953. So if my math is correct, I was 9 days old at that time. And we praise God that I was able to have a chance to see and remember some of the things that we would hear about the work of Martin Luther King. None of that work, I think, we all would agree, could have been carried on with the level of efficiency and execution without a loving spouse. And we sometimes fail to keep in mind that for whatever reason, and I know there may be speculation, for whatever reason, I don't know if we discussed this morning with the brothers, she did not remarry. And that would be maybe, who knows, a lot of reasons, but at the end of the day, we do know that she carried on the work of the ministry. And so there's something we can learn about this relationship. And when we said in the title, Vision, What Can We Learn from King, we're not just referring to Dr. Martin Luther King, we'll also refer to his queen. So when we said from King, we mean both, because we believe that we can learn from both of them. And I know some may or may not know of the stories that were part of the reality out in the marketplace. And some of those stories were Dr. King allegedly was involved and may have been involved in an affair or two. We're not worrying about that. We're not going to go there, but we just want to acknowledge that once again, a person could have powerful impact on the world and on society, on his people and on his family, without him being or about her being necessarily a perfect saint, that all of us are subject to failure. All of us are subject to being infallible. So it's reasonable for us to know and to understand that we all are humans. And when we sometimes step back and we look at the humanness of people, we have the ability to attach. We have the ability to associate sometimes. Oftentimes in our desire to elevate and our desire to bring purpose into reality for each and every one of us, we have to sometimes be careful that we don't roll over and get into idolatry, where we're now beginning to lift someone up as an idol or lift someone up as being beyond the confines and beyond the scope of being a man and or of being a woman. So what we can learn from them is that once they met and once they had a clarity of what it is they both wanted, there was an agreement made. And that agreement made, when we think about an agreement where you say, till death do you part, that's a powerful agreement. Most of us never want to think, feel, or believe that a spouse that we love, someone that we want to spend or invest our entire life with, to grow old with, and all of that, will be prematurely removed from this planet. And so at 39 years old, we know that's what took place with Dr. Martin Luther King when his life was cut short by a sniper, of course, in Memphis, Tennessee. And so we want us tonight, as many have already during the course of this past weekend, we know his birthday was on Friday, but it's been celebrated today and was celebrated all weekend, is to just think about tonight. If you have something that you like to share, that you remember, that has allowed you to have fun memories, or somewhere along the way, something happened in your life, or something that took place, maybe it was a speech by Dr. King, maybe it was something you heard, something you read, that you feel might be edifying to the listeners tonight. We want to open up the phone lines and give you an opportunity to come forward with what you may want to share. And so if you simply hit 1 on your phone, that will alert us in the studio, and then we'll be able to unmute you. Because as you dial in, of course, to the Broad Talk tonight, you are muted when you dial in. And so we would have to unmute you. So if you like to share anything, an area of inspiration that assisted you in your marriage or not in your marriage, just perhaps in your walk as a human being, in your relationship to God or your relationship to others. We often know and we hear about Dr. King's commitment to peace, but we also know that later in his life, when he began to turn and look at things more economically, is when the system began to be more concerned with its impact on people. So again, we want to give everybody an opportunity tonight. If you dialed in and you have a story or you have an inspiration or something that perhaps happened in your life where you were inspired, where you were encouraged, that you like to share, just hit one on your phone and we will then open your mic. So we thank God and praise God. And I know that, you know, Tammy, you were a little girl even when Dr. King was assassinated. You were a small child, only then about 4 years old, if I'm correct. And I know you probably had to learn more about him during the course of going to school and then, of course, being down here in Atlanta. You know, you've had a chance when we've had ourselves taking our children down and to the parades that were conducted, you know, years ago. And we know we've been down to the King Center and all of that. But at the end of the day, when you reflect on the marriage or you reflect on the vision that Dr. King and Queen Coretta, what they were able to put together in their time or just in his life period, when you reflect on that, what is it that that you can share with our audience tonight?
Well, good evening again, Jesse, and good evening to each and every one of our listening audience. I will say, Jesse, one of the things that kind of, you know, takes a lot of us back, we know that God did create Adam, and he understood he needed to make sure that there was a strong man that can take care of a beautiful woman and a woman that is pretty independent. And I just know that, you know, it wasn't by coincidence, it wasn't by accident that a woman was created out of the rib, out of the side of a great man. And I just thank God, because when we think about Dr. Martin Luther King, a lot of times we think about, you know, Coretta Scott King being his helpmate. Well, let's not get it twisted. She was his helpmate. But one of the things that we got to understand, Jesse, that many years ago, you know, when I think about some of the things we learn about and through our research, even as we began to think about what we were going to talk about tonight, one of the things that even I discovered in research is that she was born in Alabama, in Marion, Alabama, and she was born into a wealthy family. They were what they called economic independence. And for whatever reason, the KKK could not stand that. They didn't like it that her family was doing so well. And so they burned down the family home and her father's sawmill. And they did a whole lot of things that, you know, were just not, you know, out of love. And so I'm grateful and thankful that even through the research that we see that it was a strong woman that was created from the things that she saw at a young age. She was valedictorian of her class. And, you know, whether or not anybody knew that. So we knew that she was well educated. She was very bright, very smart, very independent, and was always there to support Martin Luther King Jr. in any way that she possibly could. But one of the things that allows me an opportunity to appreciate her more than anything is the fact, Jesse, that, you know, many years ago, you know, we might think, feel, and believe that it was Dr. Martin Luther King that encouraged Coretta Scott King to become more active, you know, in the community and be more active as she goes about in doing the things that she likes to do in terms of assisting and making sure that she's there to do the things that will make a difference in the community to help the communities better. Well, if we really think about it and we go back and we look at research, Coretta Scott King was the one, but it wasn't King back then, but she was the one who actually was more in politics than Dr. Martin Luther King. she encouraged him when they met in school, and he got more involved in that march because of her. And so one of the things we got to remember is once he grabbed a hold of what she was doing that was so great, then at that moment he felt, I need to join this awesome woman and help her continue to doing what she so strongly believed in. And so when you think about bringing two strong, powerful people that are there working together on one common goal, you will then begin to understand and know how important that they both were. And, you know, her activism started well before the marriage, but then it continued on. And so what else could that have done? It did nothing other than complement and influence, you know, Dr. Martin Luther King as he started his political walk. And as he continued to be, you know, that force out there that was fighting for justice for all. And I love the fact that when he joined on with her, he always spoke about from the very beginning, the way we have to really deal with this is through nonviolence. Well, she also felt and believed that that was the only way that we can really do it is through nonviolence. And I'm grateful and I'm thankful that for many years, Jesse, all the way up pretty much until the day that God said, well done, thy good and faithful servant, come on home and be with me, which I thought was a very young age at 78. I really, you know that she served her purpose because she did so much. She was in the community. She did all she could to campaign for global peace. And she also, you know, was so important to her for the racial and social justice for all. And that's something that we got to continue to fight for. I was very proud when I watched their daughter, Reverend Bernice King, speak today that she is following in their footsteps and she's doing some great things in the community of the greater Atlanta, Georgia area. And I just pray that as she continues to keep her father's legacy alive, that she will be able to stand tall, strong, and bold and be able to continue to go forward and do great things. But when we look at a man and a woman that have been joined together in holy matrimony, that have some of the same goals, some of the morals and values that will help make a difference in this world, that's where it starts from. She supported him. She could have been very selfish to say, Martin, there's too many threats on your life. You have four beautiful children that I cannot raise alone. Is it really worth you going out there and putting your life on, you know, at risk? And may not be able to come home to us one night. Well, she put her selfish thinking to the side and felt that she was supporting her husband doing the absolute best thing in her heart and in her spirit that she thought he should be doing. And so when I think about Dr. Martin Luther King and I think about Coretta Scott King, I think about so many great things that come out of both of them. I mean, I don't care who you are and where you are and what you're doing when you think about so many of his beautiful quotes, you know, every man must decide whether he will walk in the light of creative optimism or in the darkness of destructive selfishness. Now, which one do we want to do? We got to decide that. We got to decide, are we willing to go out just as Dr. Martin Luther King and our dear sister, Mother Coretta Scott King, are we willing to go out and sacrifice as they have, not only sacrificing of your time, your finances, also you're sacrificing spending quality time even with your family because you're out in the community fighting for others. I just pray, I just know that God has some great things in store for all of us, and I just pray that we all get the ability to live it out and be able to know the things that he has in store for all of us. And you know what? One of the main things, you know, we all got to realize is we may have all come on different ships, but we are in the same boat now. I mean, that's all of us. So we got to understand as African-Americans and as others that regardless of the color of our skin, we should not be treated different. And there should not be any form of inequality just because of the color of our skin. I just pray that God continues to help us recognize and understand that we have to continue doing our part. We got to understand and know the things that God has in store for each and every one of us. I pray that God continues to help us get a better understanding of all of what this awesome man of God has done, this awesome woman of God has done, how they have made such a difference in so many people's lives. One of the things that Dr. Martin Luther King has stated, that quality, not the longevity of one's life, is what is important. So what kind of quality are we living? We know he lived a short life. Relatively speaking, Coretta Scott King lived a short life, because at 78, I'm hoping, I'm praying, and I'm trusting and believing I will continue to move and press forward even beyond that and in a healthy state. That's where my mind's headed. That's my vision, and that's where I desire to be, and that's where I desire for you to be, right there with me, Jesse, walking with me, and you and I hand in hand, and allowing God to continue to use us in a mighty way. We got to understand that there's so many things that we can learn about how Coretta Scott King thinks. We know so many of the beautiful writings of Dr. Martin Luther King, but how many times have we really listened to hear and know some of the things that Coretta Scott King tried to tell us? I think about one when she says, "I believe all Americans who believe in freedom, tolerance, and human rights have a responsibility to oppose bigotry and prejudice based on sexual orientation." That was how she felt, that she really thought she could go out and help yet make a difference so that no one is being judged. I pray that God allows us an opportunity to know and understand that even as she speaks about, has spoke about, and that we continue to allow her words to live in, around, and about us, is one of the things she said, it doesn't matter how strong your opinions are. If you don't use your power for positive change, you are indeed a part of the problem. So we all have a voice to use. That's one of the reasons Jesse is saying hit one on your mic. Share anything that you might want to share as it relates to a vision, your vision. Dr. Martin Luther King, as we think about the King, our Lord and Savior, we think about Martin Luther King, who has allowed us an opportunity to learn and grow through his teachings, through his actions, you know, as he had the ability back in the 60s. We have to continue to understand and know that we can and will make a difference in this world, but we cannot do it by standing on the sidelines. We have to get out there, and we have to get involved, and we have to allow God to use us. If we're willing vessels and we pray to God and ask him to use us in a mighty way, he will give us every essential tool we need to be successful in whatever it is that we desire to do to help make a difference in this world. And so I think about, Jesse, even when the kids were young, and because we have the privilege of living in the greater Atlanta area, we've had the ability to go down to the marches. They were exposed to all of, you know, the civil rights movements when they were going on. We walked in different movements. We've done different things. And because of that, it has made them the individuals they are today. And I'm grateful and I'm thankful that they've gotten involved in some of these marches, when we know that justice was not served, when unfortunately a lot of our black men and women's lives have been taken unjustly. And we know that there had to be peaceful marches out there. And I thank God that our children understood they do and can make a difference, and they were a part of those peaceful marches. And then because of that, they now have it in their makeup that they can teach it to their children. And that's what it's all about. I remember growing up and learning so much about Martin Luther King and everything he stood for. I didn't learn as much about Coretta Scott King until after she got more involved after his death. But I'm grateful that she did, that she just didn't put it down and not want to put the energy in, nor did she not want to put herself back in that same position, unfortunately, where her life may be taken and the children wouldn't have a mother or a father. But because of who she was and her beliefs, she continued on that legacy. And I'm grateful and thankful for that awesome woman of God and for that wonderful marriage that God allowed us all to witness, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Powerful, powerful. Powerful. We thank God for the prophetic utterance of my queen. Very powerful insight. Sometimes we don't know certain details, and sometimes we do, and we forget some of the details. But when you think about that particular power couple, that's what we used to say sometimes. We see a couple, and one would have that ability to speak and one would have that ability to sing, or perhaps they both have the ability to both speak and both sing. We call them those power couples. And they truly were a power couple that knew how to love. And again, when you think sometimes about life in and of itself, he, Dr. King, leaving here at 39, she leaving at 78, 39 plus 39. Isn't that something? Sometimes we have to think about what God is saying all the time, that he gave her an opportunity to live another 39 years to make another impact on this world. When we go back and remember those four things that Dr. King said he really admired about our sister, I believe they're very pertinent today. I mean, when you think about character, you know, the mental and moral qualities that are distinct to each one of us. You know, what's your mental and moral makeup? The thing that will cause you, even if you could take advantage of someone, that you wouldn't do it, that you would back away from it and leave it alone. Truly, our leaders today need more character than ever before. And what we have witnessed during the course of the last 200 years in this country, the last 100 years, the last 50 years, every now and then there's a man or a woman that will stand up and they will have a level of character that will set them apart from all others. See, I remember most of us men, women, we can remember when we were in the pursuit of you and we wanted to make you our spouse. We wanted to make you our queen. You didn't know it, but one of the things that we were evaluating as well was, what was your character? What was the mental and moral qualities that would cause us to be attracted to you? And I can remember very clearly in your case, Tammy, when I learned about your brothers and I learned about their fate and what was going on and what you had done in an effort to try to at least have a chance for them to see some family member. I mean, that was something that really, really attracted me to you, was that you would be willing at such a young age to make such a significant change in your life, to do what you could. That was a very, very attractive to me. You know, that intelligence, that ability to acquire, but not only acquire, not just be a regurgitator of information, but to be able to apply knowledge and a skill set to situations. See, that's where that experience comes into play, when that intellectual capacity is able to scan the environment to see what's going on and then be able to apply specific actions. And we ourselves, I was able over the course of the years that we got to know more about the Queen, we were able to see that level of intellect, that level of understanding and application of wisdom and knowledge. See, all of that comes together in what the people call the personality, behaviors, the cognition. What is your cognitive capabilities? You know, how much do you understand situations? How much can you get into the emotional needs? Because, see, sometimes we think intellect is just the ability to regurgitate numbers and information. No, that's not even the most important intellect a person can have. The key intellect that we should have is that emotional intelligence, that ability to understand the differences in people, the differences in what people are going to be like once you have an understanding of perhaps their biological and environmental conditions. What are those things that make them who they are today? And just as you were sharing, the Queen King, just as you were sharing about her, we can begin to understand and have a greater appreciation that she herself was also called for such a time as she had. And then, of course, that beauty. And look at, my goodness, what God has done in this world. He has provided such an array, and especially in the people who in this country, in America, the great country of America, the great nation of America, has allowed a combination of qualities, of shapes, of colors, of forms that are so pleasing aesthetically to the senses that when we have an opportunity to actually see, then, oh, my goodness. And, of course, who would deny the fact that Dr. King's queen was a beautiful, beautiful lady? And so when you put all of that together, we can begin to gain great knowledge and great understanding related to oneness and marriage as we look at them and what they were able to achieve in those 15 years that they were together. I think all of us, our hearts bleed, and we are saddened to think what could have been if perhaps something had not been so demonically applied. And we all know what the real deal was. Once you began to speak about that money, once you began to speak about those economics, you put yourself in danger. So again, tonight perhaps there's a story you may have. I know some of you all that are of my queen's age, you were little young people at that time, but hopefully you read some books and you've seen some documentaries, or you had something that perhaps was inspiring to you as you were growing up that would make you reflect and think back sometimes. You know, would you have been able, given that data we just gave you? And I know several women that have, that they were born and they were married to men whose last names may not have been King, but they were kings. They were kings to the point to where those women, and you may sometimes not realize this, but there have been other women when they have lost their husbands, or when their husbands have passed on, that were able to still stand firm and stand tall 30, 40, and sometimes even 50 years after those kings had passed on. Let me tell you, we have a legacy in our people, amongst our people, that we need to continue to understand and realize just how powerful oneness is, especially given what we came through to get to where we are today. And so once again, just want to remind you tonight, we're leveraging the King's holiday for the subject matter vision. What can we learn from King, King and Queen, King from the standpoint of the last name, but chatting about both of them. And so we thank God and we give God all the glory and all the honor, but there's truly, truly a lot that we can learn from the kings. Your mic is open, Queen.
Amen, Jesse. And, you know, one of the things that I'm grateful and I'm thankful is I think about this special day. It's not just, in my opinion, Martin Luther King Jr.'s day. You know, I'm just so thankful that this special day, they always include Coretta Scott King. And, you know, when I think about, even through the studies, Jesse, and I think about, you know, when she met her husband and when they had an opportunity to move to Montgomery, Alabama, and he was the minister, and you know, and when they got married and they had that first child, that Yolanda, you know, when we think about when his house was bombed, it was bombed when Yolanda was about 10 weeks old, and they were the only two in the house, and thank God that they both were able to escape. But one of the things that everybody wanted, including her family, was for her to leave Martin, Dr. King, simply because they didn't want her and her children to be in harm, her child to be in harm's way. And she not only refused to leave him, but she wouldn't even go and stay at one of their homes once their house got back built and they were, once they were able to move into a different home, she still yet felt she had to stand on her grounds to stay there and be the woman that God has called her to be for such a time as this. God did not put her together with Dr. Martin Luther King to be a wimp. And as I had said earlier, she was more involved in politics and being an activist than Dr. Martin Luther King was when they first got together. But then once he got into it, he went full flesh into it to the point there was no turning back. But if we think about it, if she would have never allowed that opportunity to go forward and stay with him, then think about it. There would probably be or never would have been, you know, a boycott. And so if there was never a boycott, then when we think about it, more than likely, then we would have never had what has now come to be one of the greatest civil rights activists ever. We would have never been able to really get to know this man, because I'm sure, just like any other powerful man that knows that God strategically put him together with a helpmate, that if for whatever reason wisdom comes out of that spouse's mouth and they're able to communicate one to another, because God did say that when he brings you a helpmate, it doesn't mean for the helpmate to say nothing and do nothing. That's when you work together, and that's when your relationship is so much more powerful. Coretta Scott King was willing to work side by side with her husband. Think about it. She was the one that helped him, and she was one of his biggest supporters. She was the one that he really felt he can go to pray with her, to be there to support him. And there were times when she was the only one in the studies that I've seen that stood by him at times. And so we got to understand the role that not only Dr. Martin Luther King played, but Coretta Scott King as well. And so she had to know that when she accepted his hand in holy matrimony, that it was going to be one that was going to be of an excitement probably every single day. So as we think about it, if she would have bailed out, he more than likely would have bailed out, because he more than likely put his family first. And that's why he consulted with her on so many occasions. But if that would have taken place and she would have not stayed by his side, again, the boycott success led by the Kings to imagine something grander, we wouldn't have been able to see that. We wouldn't have been able to understand back in 1957 what took place, what was formed out of all of that. That was the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, to bring more people together, to determine what can we do as a group to help make a difference in this wonderful world. But let's not get it twisted. Coretta Scott King wasn't the only one that we know that were women that were out there, and they were out there doing what they needed to do to help make a difference. We just spoke about the bus boycott. The bus boycott was all shaped by, we know, none other than Rosa Parks. Then when we think about how that all came about with the Rosa Parks challenges of not wanting to give up her seat, well, it all stemmed from a council member of the Women's Political Council of Montgomery. It was a female. The president, Joanne Robinson, she's the first one that said, we must boycott. And because she stated it, Dr. Martin Luther King got behind her and everybody else, to the point that they knew something needed to be done. So one thing I got to say to our listening audience, if you got a husband or husbands, you got a wife that you know that they are on a move doing some great things, get beside them, run with them, walk with them, talk with them, encourage them, support them, edify them, help them be all they can be, because God put you together as a helpmate, one to another. There are going to be times when I may want to do something. I need support. I need help from my husband. And he has been there, hands down. And then there are times when I know I got to step in. I got to support. I got to do the things I need to do to be that helpmate to him, to support him, to encourage him. We all get down and out every now and then. Every now and then, we need that little push to be able to keep going. That's why so often we read that wonderful poem that we all are so familiar with, The Footprints in the Sand. I don't care who you are. You must take those moments when you feel, think, and believe you cannot do it alone. that you need someone to pick you up and carry you, where there's only one set of footprints because somebody is carrying you through. Allow your spouse to be that person to carry you through. Allow yourself an opportunity to be a support group one to another, because that's how God created us, in oneness. And if you have never experienced oneness, that's why I say to you, use this opportunity to study it, to show yourself approved on what it is that you might have to do different to be that what Jesse called the queen king. You can be the queen king of your house. You can be the one that has the ability to help encourage, lead, guide, and direct your spouse, your husband, your queen, your king. He can also help encourage you when you're not so down and out, to be able to make it to that next level that he knows that you must get to. Do your part to be there in support of one another. It's not about who gets the most recognition, because if that was the case, Coretta Scott King would have been gone a long time ago. But because she knew her role was to support her husband, but her ultimate role was to care for those beautiful children that God gifted her with, and whom better to do it than the mother. It shouldn't be a nanny, a grandmother, or grandparents that's taking care of a child because you want to go and be beside your spouse because they're doing great things. Well, you can support them from a distance. You can support them walking right alongside them, or you can support them when they make that phone call, when they come back home, or meeting them where they are every now and then. So you got to understand that there are different ways that you can support, but you've got to be in agreement to say, I'm willing to support. I pray that God blesses all of us to dig deep into everything he has blessed us with, that he has poured into us, that we are allowing to lay dormant in us. He wants us to pour it out of us, to share it with others. As a matter of fact, how many times have you really sat down with your spouse and truly shared your vision with them? Have you not, because you may be afraid of a lack of support? Have you not, because you don't know how to approach them, because they're not easy to approach? Go to God in prayer. Ask God to help you in that area, because there's no greater support than a spouse supporting one another in all of their endeavors. I pray God blesses you to be the best spouse on this side of heaven, to recognize that we're all at different spaces at different times, and that we all grow and mature at different levels. Don't worry about yesterday. It's gone. You can't get it back. Now what you want to do is put your eyes, that vision, on the vision that God put inside of you that you're not utilizing yet, that he wants to birth it out of you and you're afraid. Get with your spouse. Grab hands. Pray together that communication will be better, that you will support each other's dreams better, and you will realize and understand that there is a grand purpose for the two of you, just like there was a grand purpose for Dr. Martin Luther King and his queen, Coretta Scott King. God bless you all in the name of Jesus.
Powerful. That's all I can say, powerful once again. And to be balanced, you know, there was J. Edgar Hoover. Some of you all remember him. He did not have a lot of love for Dr. King. Called him a lot of things. You know, we mentioned this morning, Professor Dr., you know, Eric Dyson, wrote a book about Dr. King where he mentions some of the alleged affairs that may have been part of his reality. Suffice it to say, it again indicates and illustrates that a great man or a great woman can indeed have some flaws. They're not gods. They're not to be held up as idols. But regardless of what it may be, you have those that speculate that perhaps not to tarnish a reputation and not to tarnish a movement, perhaps things were done that were part of a God-inspired plan. We can only speculate. We don't know those kind of answers. But the bottom line is, we do know that they had a vision, that God had a vision for them, that he allowed to be carried on for an additional 39 years. Proverbs 29:18 speaks about where there is no vision, the people perish. And see, today we continue on as a people because we have been willing to have visions that may not be as sophisticated as we would like for them to be. But obviously we have a vision, and we've had a vision that's deeply ingrained enough in us to make sure we survive, to make sure we learn how to thrive. And so we want to encourage you tonight as you reflect on this day and for the rest of this year and the rest of your life, meditate and think about sometime, what can you learn from King, both Martin and Coretta? And we say that with all respect. What can you learn? We know again that they were not perfect, but we know they had perfection in the vision that they had one for each other. So we thank God tonight for an opportunity just to invest a few moments into the thought process behind the vision that they had to indeed have. Being married only a little more than a year after meeting. And one of the most interesting things, and I can remember one time out for breakfast with a bunch of the men, and everybody was laughing and joking about the height of Dr. King. And one of the brothers was a minister, and he said, "We were the same height, 5'7". He said, "But I'm 5'7½". And we all laughed. And that was one of the funny stories that we read about in a little research of Coretta. She said she couldn't believe how all of the women were making so much noise about this little short man from Atlanta, Georgia. So we praise God. We know God can put greatness in all of us, regardless of what our physical statures may be. Father, we praise you. We thank you. We give you glory. We give you honor. We ask you to be with these men and women, these spouses out here tonight and spouses to be. May they be able to find and enjoy, Father, themselves more than ever before. Let them come together, Father, and create a vision that will propel them and their families over, above, and beyond anything they could ever hope for, imagine, or dream. Father, whatever they may put their hands to, whatever plow they may touch, let it be prosperous. May they grow in fellowship. May they grow in character, Father. May they grow in appreciation for each other. And above all, may they come together with a vision, a joint vision for the family. In Jesus' name, amen. Right after you hear this next little short song, you'll be moving into the ministry gifts of our very own Minister Leah Killens. Join her at 9 p.m. Eastern Time right after this broadcast. May God bless you.
Agape love.